This episode of Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Lovework Studios. Whether you need recording, mixing, or mastering, you can reach out to Lovework Studios on all social media at Lovework Studios.
Yeah. Crosstalk Radio in the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swick in the building.
Like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is
now. It's Crosstalk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Push and Steph Swig, two bold brothers, kick it down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions, debate questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. Spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican. Let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average, ordinary radio show. Worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions, and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like, here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. It's your man, Steph Swig.
It's your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, we got a great show ahead of us right now. We're going to be talking about Kwanzaa and the history of Hanukkah. We already did Christmas, so we gotta give just due. So we're going to talk about these different ones today.
Yes, we do.
Because everybody always talks about Christmas and the origins, but it's like you don't hear nothing about Kwanzaa. You don't hear anything about Hanukkah. You kind of hear it maybe in the background. You might see it on the calendar, but that's all you see.
Right.
I didn't know what Hanukkah was or Kwanzaa was until I started doing this podcast today.
Right.
So Pudge got some information on Kwanzaa. He's going to give that to y'all, and I'm going to get my notes together for Hanukkah, and then we're going to learn about both of them.
All right, people. So, you know, Kwanzaa is a week-long celebration held in the United States and in other nations of West African diaspora in the Americas. The celebration honors African heritage in African American culture and is observed from December 26th to January 1st, culminating in a feast and gift-giving. Kwanzaa has seven core principles, and it was created by Malana Karenja.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I say the name. And was first celebrated in 1966 and 1967. So the history and etymology of it, and just for people who don't know, I find really dope. Etymology is how you pronounce the word. Etymology means the study of the origin of words, that way in which their meanings have changed throughout history. And I actually had to read it like three or four times to see how dope like it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? The study of an origin, you studying the origin of words, which in their meanings have changed over history. Like, the word still remain the same, but because of history, the meaning of the word has actually changed.
I got it. I like that.
So it's actually the history and the changing of its history. I'm just going to break it down. Mutana Karenja created Kwanzaa in 1966 as the first specifically African-American holiday.
And if people don't have time, also look up Juneteenth, too. It has a lot to do with a lot of our ancestors being freed at that time. According to Karen Karinja, the name Kwanzaa derives from the Swahili phrase Mutanda, Mutanda ya Kwanzaa, meaning the first fruits of the harvest. Although a more conventional translation would simply be first fruits, the choice of Swahili, an East African language, reflects its status as a symbol of Pan-Africanism, especially in the 1960s, although most of the Atlantic slave trade that brought African people to America originated in West Africa. Kwanzaa is a celebration that has its roots in Black nationalist movements of the 1960s and was established as a means to help African Americans reconnect with their African culture and historical heritage by uniting in meditation and study of African traditions and Nguzu Saba, the seven principles of African heritage, which Karinja said is a communitarian African philosophy. For Karinja, a major figure in Black Power movement of the 1960s and 70s, the creation of such holidays understood an essential premise that you must have a cultural revolution before the violent revolution. The cultural revolution gives identity, purpose, and direction. During the early years of Kwanzaa, Karinja said that it was meant to be an alternative to Christmas, that Jesus was psychotic.
What? Can you read that again?
Oh, man. I see the look on your face. I'm like, wait till I get to this sentence right here. Because I had to read that again.
Yeah.
But when I was studying, during the years of Kwanzaa, Karinja said that it was meant, now this was the original, it was originally meant to be an alternative to Christmas, that Jesus was psychotic, and that Christianity was a white religion that Black people should shun.
Wow.
So this, I don't even know if Malana Karinja is a male or female, but however, that was the base origin of them coming up with this, because they saw that Blacks were migrating to Christianity, mm-hmm. and it was a psychotic and crazy yeah. religion, and you should shun that. So, yeah. however, as Kwanzaa gained mainstream adherence, Karinja altered his, also guy, his position mm-hmm. so that practicing Christians would not be alienated. Then stating in the night, look, he started in 66, 67.
Okay.
Then stated in the 1997 Kwanzaa, a celebration of family, community, and culture.
Okay.
Kwanzaa was not created to give people an alternative to their own religion or religious holiday.
That's what he stated?
That's what he stated now.
He done grew.
He grew. He grew. Many Africans, Americans who celebrate Kwanzaa do so in addition mm-hmm. to observing Christmas. So I guess, you know, he saw some form of light somewhere down the line to when he realized that, you know, this is not to take, this is not a religion.
Yeah.
This is for you to celebrate it in cahoots with whatever it is you believe. Just don't forget your roots. Don't forget where we came from. And it's supposed to be, you know, 12 days of from the 26th to the 1st, not 12 days, but, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, a week long of celebrating this right here. And yeah. Kwanzaa celebrates what its founder called the seven principles of Kwanzaa, or Nguzo Saba. Originally Nguzo Saba, the seven principles of African heritage, which Karen just said is a, I read that part already, communitarian African philosophy consisting of what Karanja called the best of African thought and practice in constant exchange with the world. The seven principles comprise Kwanda and Swahili word meaning, Kwanda and Swahili word meaning common. Each of the 7 days of Kwanzaa is dedicated to one of the following principles as follows. So this is the emoja, which I always thought was emoji, means unity, to strive for and to maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Man, that second one, have you seen that word? K-U-J-I-C-H-A-G-U-L-I-A.
Nah, mine's definitely look different than that.
And that's the second. That's the second principle. It's self-determination is what it means.
Okay.
So, Kujai Chagulia.
Oh, I see it.
Kujai Chagulio.
No, it's Kuji Chagulia.
Gulia? Kuji Chagulia. Hey, I'm all for trying to learn.
Mine has a phonetic spelling next to it.
Okay, yeah, help me. So people, it's Kuji Chagulia. Is that how you say it? Gulia.
Yeah.
Kuji Chagulia?
Yes.
Okay.
It means self. Kuji Chagulia.
Okay. Yeah. Means self-determination. To define and name ourselves as well as to create and speak for ourselves. Ujima. Collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. This is really awesome.
Community, I love it.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
I was reading these principles earlier. Like, dang, this is
the other one is Ujima?
Ujima.
Yeah. Ujima. Oh, so what's the first one?
Omaja. Omoja. No.
Okay, I got one is UJIMA, and the other one is UJIMAA.
Mine's better. The first one I have is UOUMOJA.
You must have the you. No, that's not. Yeah, that's. I did that one. No, that's Unity.
What? Yeah, which one? You?
I'm on the third. I'm on the fourth principle.
Oh, my bad. The fourth principle.
UJAMAA.
Yeah, and the other one's UG.
UJIMA.
One is Ujima, and the other one's Ojama.
Okay, so Ujima got to be the first one.
Yeah, to build and maintain a community together.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. So Ojama, which is corporate economics.
Mm-hmm.
To build and maintain our stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. Now, you know what? Ojama, that's how we pronouncing it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep that with me for a very long time, because I'm going to help implement that in our people, because, you know, our people are the ones that feel like we crabs in a pot. Like, we got to step on another black person to get on top.
True.
Instead of, and Kwanzaa was built and maintained. I mean, it's one of the principles to build and maintain our stores, mm-hmm. shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them too. And the keyword, together.
That's true.
Keyword together. It's really, Nia means purpose. To make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. I love that. Restore our people to their traditional greatness, which means we were traditionally great. That is how God, that's how Abba traditionally made us great. I love that.
It's all kingdom principles, in my opinion.
Right,
I love
right,
it. I love
right,
it.
Right, right, right. So, Kumba, creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Man, that's awesome. And my last one, which is, I gotta love this one too, Imani, faith. To believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Kwanzaa celebrates symbols, including a mat, which they call Mika, on which other symbols are placed, in Kanara, candle holder, mm-hmm. Mushuma, Saba, the seven candles. That's what we was talking about, the seven candles. Mazayo, crops. Mahunindi, corn. A Kikombi Cha Umaja. That's Unity Cup. For commemorating and giving Shakrani. Man, I'm feeling kind of bad because my mother's actually taught us on this. Like, I'm now reading all these words. When she brought Kwanzaa into our lives, she broke these words down to tell us what they meant and then told us, like, study these words so you can, you know, so you'll know. And when I got to that, because Shakrani, like, that means thanks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I need to get in the habit of using these same words normally. To African ancestors and Zawadi, gifts. Zawadi means gifts. Supplement representations include a Naguzu Saba poster, the black, red, and green bandera flag, and African books and artworks, all to represent values and concepts reflecting or African culture and contribution to community, building and reinforcement. Corn is the primary symbol for both decoration and celebratory dining.
All right. Can I chime in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know this is your thing, man, but I got some stuff here I think that people should know, because this is, I saw the seven principles, then you went through the stuff, the mat and the candle holder.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually moved by a lot of what this stuff actually means, and I want the people to explore what it symbolizes.
Okay.
Because I read it early, and I was just like moved. I was blown away and touched. Like, wow, this is deep, and it's beautiful, actually.
Right.
Because you said I'm not going to go necessarily. I go order. He said the makika, that was the mat.
Mm-hmm.
But what the mat is, it's a woven together mat. A woven mat made of fabric, raffia, or paper. The other symbols are placed on the mat. It symbolizes experiences and foundations. That's what the mat is for.
Mm. And it is deep.
And forgive me, people, if y'all are familiar with this and I'm butchering these words, but it looks like it says Kukumbi Cha Umaja.
Kukumbi, yeah. Kukumbi Cha, yeah, I said the same thing.
And that's Unity the Unity Cup. Unity Cup. It represents family and community. It is filled with water, fruit juice, or wine. A little is poured out to remember the ancestors. The mm-hmm. cup is shared between people, and each person takes a sip. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of do that in the hood, though.
Right.
Okay, that's all I was thinking about. They pour it out.
Bruh.
All right. Mazayo, the crops, fruit and vegetables from the harvest. These normally include bananas, mangoes, peaches, plantains, oranges, and other favorites.
Mm-hmm.
They are shared. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Kanara, the candle holder. It represents the days and principles of Kwanzaa. We knew that.
That's the 7 days of mm-hmm. celebration.
Yep, the 7 days and the seven principles. The Mushuma Saba, the seven candles, are placed in the canary. Black, red, and green are the colors of the bandera, also known as African flag.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get those colors, right, in the candles. But, you know, I think you talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The black one goes in the middle, the red mm-hmm. Goes on the one side, and the three green go on the other. Muhindi, the corn. I love this one. This was my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
It says, there is one ear of corn of each child in the family. If there are no children in the family, then one ear is used to represent the children in the community. It represents the future and the Native Americans.
Mm.
I like that one. That one just
stuck out. Like that too.
And then they talked about the gifts. The Sawanda is a gift. And it talks about some of the gifts they usually give during the... it says, gifts given to children during Kwanzaa are normally educational, such as a book, DVD, or game.
Right.
There's also a gift reminding them of their African heritage. This is a beautiful...
It is.
Celebration, the way, you know, is reading like these principles. I love it, man.
Mm-hmm. This part right here is what, like what I said, my mother first introduced us to Kwanzaa. It was probably like 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And this part right here, what I just got first reading, is what we did. Like, we did it on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So families celebrating Kwanzaa decorate their households with objects of art, colorful African cloth, such as kente. Especially the wearing of kaftans by women, and fresh fruits that represent African idealism. It is customary to include children in Kwanzaa ceremonies and to give respect and gratitude to ancestors. Now, and libations are shared. Now, that's what we did. We actually, the first time we did it, we had libations, and we actually got up and... Everybody got up and just pretty much gave respect and gratitude to someone in our past. Not necessarily an ancestor, because we didn't know our ancestors personally, but someone in our past who has been a monument to us. Like, you know, I was my grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
And both grandmas were living back then, so my grandfathers, like, they mm-hmm. were the closest thing to ancestry to me, because, you know what I'm saying, as far as the legacy that they left.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we did that. So I actually have been a part of a ceremony like that before, which I felt was really dope. We were all in Kwanzaa attire or African attire. Mm-hmm. It was real. I mean, and it's just honestly, you know, some people feel like you can be really in touch with your roots, really in touch with your ancestors. That day, it felt like our ancestors were like sitting in the room with us.
Wow.
Like receiving the honor, you know, so it was really, really good. Libations are shared generally with a common chalice. Kikumbi Cha Umaja. How do you say that last word? Umoja. the same word women you keep butchering.
That's all of them.
Right. Passed around to all celebrants. Non-African Americans also celebrate Kwanzaa. The holiday greeting is just, it's joyous Kwanzaa. So that's dope, man. Like, you don't have to be, and that's pretty much saying, you don't have to be African to celebrate this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You, from whatever culture you are, you have ancestors. You have someone in your life, you know what I'm saying, that stands by these seven principles just like you would love to. Mm-hmm. So that's, a Kwanzaa ceremony may include drumming and musical selections, which is what we did. You know, my father's percussionist, so, you know, in between people, you know, giving, I'm going to give a shout out. Giving recognition to our ancestors, you know, he would play, like, in between people, you know, giving their thanks, I would say. Mm-hmm. Music selections, libations, our reading of the African pledge and the principles of that blackness, reflection on the Pan-African colors, a discussion of the African principle of the day or a chapter in African history, a candle lighting ritual, artistic performance, and finally a feast. And we ate stupid good. You know, we if that's one thing we know how to do, we know how to eat. The greeting for each day of Kwanzaa is, this is nice. I said the more information we learn it. The greeting for each day of Kwanzaa is Habari Gani, which is Swahili for how are you? So, you know, I'm going to make sure I pick this back up so I know for the next, you know, the seven days into that, I'm going to be using majority of the Swahili language. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that people who do Kwanzaa every year, if I run up on someone who does it, they're going to respond back in the same language.
Yeah.
Especially if they celebrate it for real.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, I'm going to definitely go over these words because I actually like learning other languages, especially when they're easy to pronounce. Habari.
Talk about easy to pronounce. We've been butchering these words.
Like, hey, look. The mother one's a little hard. The words look like emoji. I can get them words out. You know what I'm saying? That Habari Gani, that's easy. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm gonna be trying to say words I know easy to come out of my mouth. How about that?
I hear that.
But at the first, observers of Kwanzaa avoided the mixing of the holidays or its symbols, values, and practice with other holidays, as doing so would violate the principle of man. Now this is a word. Okay, what's that first word, man? The one that you had to break. That's the word we both butchered. But Kuja, Kuiji.
It's Kujicha. Hold on, Kujicha. Kujicha Gulia.
Yeah, I don't want us to just give it. You know, black folks love to give an abbreviation. I don't want y'all talking about Kuji. Y'all talking about, you know what I'm saying, Gucci. You know what I'm saying? The principle of Kujicha Gulia, which is self-determination. I'm going to just say self-determination instead of butchering that name. And thus violate the integrity of the holiday, which is partially intended as a reclamation of important African values. Today, man, African American families celebrate Kwanzaa along with Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. Frequently, both Christmas trees and opportunity to incorporate elements of their particular ethnic heritage into the holiday observance and celebrations of Christmas. Cultural exhibitions include the spirit of Kwanzaa. An annual celebration held on the John F. Kennedy. That's not important. Well, what you got, Steph? What you got? That's pretty much all I have in a nutshell.
Okay, cool. I like that, man. I want to we gave a little paraphrase on different principles, but not when it talked about the principles. It's talking about the corn and stuff like that, how they celebrate it. But I want to read a little bit more about the candles because the candles were really important. Mm-hmm. Well, they all are important, but this one really stood out to me. It says. The candles is Mishuma Seba, the seven candles, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I butchered the word, I butchered it, but that's what it means, though. The Mishuma Seba, which means the seven candles.
Mm-hmm.
Candles are ceremonial objects with two primary purposes, to recreate symbolically the sun's power and to provide light. The celebration of fire through candle burning is not limited to one particular group or country. It occurs everywhere. Mishuma Seba are the seven candles, three red, three green, and one black. The black candle symbolizes Omoja, unity, the basis of success, is lit on December 26th. The three green candles, representing Nia, Ujima, and Imani, are placed to the right of the Umoja candle. While the three red candles representing Kuji, you say it this time.
Kuja,
and Ujamaa and Kum.
Self-determination, that's what it's called, self-determination.
Yeah. Are placed to the left of it. During Kwanzaa, one candle representing one principle is lit each day. Then the other candles are relit to give off more light and vision. The number of candles burning also indicate the principle that is being celebrated. The illuminating fire of the candles is a basic element of the universe, and every celebration and festival includes fire in some form. Fire's mystique, like the sun, it's irresistible and can destroy or create with its mesmerizing, frightening, mystifying power. And that's pretty much all I wanted to read. I mean, they got other reasons, but I want y'all to, of course, I want to leave a little bit for the people to study on their own.
Yes, please do that.
Because it's a lot of information here, but I enjoy the information I got. I didn't know anything about Kwanzaa. I just knew it was Afrocentric. Right. And I didn't know if you can do it in conjunction with Christmas or not until I read it.
Right.
People told me, but I don't really always believe anything people tell me. I wanted to read it for myself. What did you think? You said you celebrated it before? You said you celebrated it.
Kwanzaa?
Yeah, coming up.
Yeah, just like for the very first time, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't know what Kwanzaa or Hanukkah was at all. I didn't think anything was bad about it, but I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when my mother went to change her name, you know what I'm saying, she dove more into it and was like, this is beautiful, this is lovely, and... most black people need to indulge in Kwanzaa because it can help restore the brokenness from back to our ancestors' days. So I'm saying, I mean, she's like, you know, it's all about unity. It's all about, it's about actually black people being that village for real.
Yeah.
The village to help other people for
That's
real.
That's what I get from it too, man. Yeah. It is beautiful.
Of course, the hurtful part is we are that one race that is hard for us to do stuff collectively and together. Dude. So the fact that Kwanzaa will be even more reason why you probably want to put this into effect because even if you're somebody who struggles with working with other people or helping somebody else come up, you know what I'm saying? This could help, you know? This could help out a lot.
This is the blueprint for a successful black community.
I like that, the blueprint.
I mean, if you really think about the principles here, what they're talking about, if we were actually, as a black community, African American community, however you want to say it, if we were to embrace this, everything talk about like shared wealth, supporting one another, this is stuff we always talk about but never do.
Right.
You know, raising each other's kids, being accountable to one another,
right.
Learning to appreciate the first fruits and coming together and sharing as a community.
Mm-hmm.
Again, these are all kingdom principles, but as far as community wise, just in the black community, that's something we lack as far as a strong family structure and a lot of them.
Right.
But could you imagine if we did come together and we did help and be accountable for one of, you know, other people's kids? And, like, we do that. You saw that the other night when we talked about that earlier.
Right.
But it's, like, on a grander scale, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Could you imagine if everybody, you know, just really supported each and every business in the community? Because, you know, statistically speaking, the black dollar does not stay in the black community. I think it's more than 24 hours is gone.
Mm-hmm. It's like burning a hole in your pocket.
Other communities, like the Jewish community, the Asian community, the Hispanic community, all their money stays in the community for days or weeks or months at a time. So we make money, but we don't spend it within our own communities. Now, I think it's several problems with that. One, sometimes it's not just black folks don't want to support each other. Sometimes black folks have the jankiest businesses and customer service
and
skills,
and they
have an attitude.
And the sad part is you want...
Yeah.
To support them, but it's like, you know, you pretty much gonna be getting half-assed, you know what I'm saying, customer service. It's not gonna be
substandard ghetto work.
So it's challenging to support our people when they're not up to par.
Yeah, and then you still got the crabs in the barrel mentality that still poisons our community. You know, but I always hear people say that though, like, that's why I can't support black. You can't buy them from black folks because they do this, they do that. And it's a mentality that's poisoning the community, but at the same time, it's a serious lack of standard as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe,
Not every black person, I'm not saying that, I'm saying, but as a culture, and from what I've seen as a black person in a black community, is very substandard when it comes to customer service, cleanliness, professionalism, all of it. I don't mind buying from black people. I don't specifically buy from people because of their race, but I will say that when I have purchased stuff. It's more so like the people who, it's always the foreigners who have more act. They're more personable.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, not when I say foreign, I'm talking about people outside the black race.
Right.
And I'm not trying. It's not one of those things where I'm self attacking at all. I'm just stating the facts of what I've experienced from my experiences.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it happens in other races, but I don't think it's culturally as widespread as it is in the black race.
Right.
Speaking of which, you still got me for that shirt.
Really? See, that's like a nigga right there, bro.
You still gonna buy that shirt, bro.
You know, it's been about 2 years since you had it.
I know, right?
My goodness.
But seriously, though, but that's what's lacking. But this is beautiful. We could apply this. Wow.
It's just my thing is the tool has been there since 1966.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess it's one of them things where it's trying to help folks get in tune with celebrating something that could help bring our people together. I would much rather have a brother or sister that I don't know that would help me profit or benefit my business or vice versa versus, you know, and not being, no slight to no other race, but versus another race. Mm-hmm. I mean, my thing is right now is you take the help you can get, you don't, well, yeah. I know me and you don't look at color.
Yeah.
I can't say everybody else does, but we don't look at color. So I could look at a white person that's doing what I feel like a brother should be doing for me when it comes to Kwanzaa or something like that. However, of course, when it's your race of people, you're going to feel for them more than you are any other race, especially when your race is the broken one.
Yeah.
Especially when you see that your people is the one that can't come together and actually just stick together for a time, a period of time, so we all can succeed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand that the mathematics is not even hard. If I help you, you help me, we all grow.
Yeah.
We all succeed.
We don't seem to get that concept. Everybody else seems to get it, but we don't get that. I mean, that's actually scientific, though. Seriously, when it comes down to it, when it comes to synergy, one and one don't equal two. It equals three or more when it comes to working together on the same accord. Seriously.
Right. Right. So my thing is, I can't even, that's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just one of the things where it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts when, especially when the job I do, driving people around all the time, and you got other cultures in your car, and they're talking about how, you know, she moved down here at like 17, and by 27, she was able to work and move half her family from China to here.
Yeah.
Now they all living in the same house. They all working at the same, all working in the field. Everybody got a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if they had, she was in a small bedroom apartment, and 10 years later, now they got three houses. But it's because they constantly work together.
They work together, and they understand that we're supposed to work together, and I think they understand the end game.
And they definitely understand the end game. It's profit in numbers. There's unity in numbers. You know what I'm saying? And that end game is, the end game is we all succeed. Nobody falls.
And 'cause, true. I don't think the black culture doesn't typically embrace that. It's like, I got to make it. I
got
to make it.
I don't know about you, but I got to make it.
I got to get mine.
I got to get mine. Yep. I got to get mine. You know what I'm saying? And it's that sad. Same song about Ladag. It was some Breezy and Tupac. I got to get mine. You got to get yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to get ours. I got to get mine and you got to get yours. But they ain't talking about nothing about getting it together.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's hurtful. It really is.
We got to do better, man.
Right.
All right. So we shared the information about Kwanzaa. With the seven principles, the reason behind it, the history of it. That was great.
Right.
You know, I'm even looking into maybe possibly embrace. I mean, like, these principles are already principles I embrace, but I think I'm more aware. Like, wow, this is how necessary it is. Basically, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Wow, that was good. All right, so we're going to move on. We said Kwanzaa and Hanukkah. So he did the Kwanzaa part. I'm going to jump into Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a little bit more, it's actually kind of simple, actually. It's not a lot of history or controversial things in the background or nothing like that. So let me explain. First of all, we got to understand what Hanukkah is. It's either Hanukkah, H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H, or pronounced Chanukah with C-H first.
Never knew there was a Chanukah.
Mm-hmm. It's the same word. It just depends on where you're coming from and how you pronounce it, I'm imagining. But so, what is Hanukkah, everybody? Well, Hanukkah is the Jewish festival of lights, and it remembers the rededication of the second Jewish temple in Jerusalem. This happened in the 160s BCE or BC before Jesus was born. Hanukkah is the Hebrew and Aramaic word for dedication. Hanukkah lasts for 8 days and it starts on the 25th of Kislev, the month in the Jewish calendar that occurs to be about the same time as December. Because the Jewish calendar is lunar, it uses the moon for its dates. Kislev can happen from late November to late December.
Okay.
So during Hanukkah, on each of the 8 nights, a candle is lit in a special menorah, which is basically a candle holder. It's called menorah, candelabra, or called a Hanukkah. And I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but I will spell it for those people out there. And I'm sorry if you, my Jewish brothers and sisters, if I'm butchering this word, I'm just trying to do Hanukkah justice. But it's spelled Hanukkiah. But Hebrew is a hard language to pick up. I know people are studying it. It's like, it's really hard.
Yeah, it never looked easy.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a special knife candle called the Shamash or servant candle, which is used to light the other candles. The Shamash is often in the center of the other candles, and it has a higher position. The Shamash is often, it's in a higher position. On the first night, one candle is lit. On the second night, two are lit until all are lit on the eighth and final night of the festival. Traditionally, they are lit from left to right. A special blessing, thanking God, is said before or after lighting the candles, and a special Jewish hymn is often sung. The menorah, which is a candle holder, is put in the front window of houses so people passing can see the lights and remember the story of Hanukkah. Most Jewish families and households have a special menorah and celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is also time for giving and receiving presents and gifts. I didn't realize they got gifts on Hanukkah. But since Hanukkah is often... I always thought they just didn't do it. I don't know. Hanukkah is also a time for giving and receiving presents, and gifts are often given on each night. Wow, that's doper than Christmas. We're going to celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas. Shoot, Kwanzaa, we're going to have everything. We're going to have like 20 candles between the both of them. But anyway, Hanukkah is often a time for giving and receiving. The most popular, Hanukkah is also a time for giving and receiving presents and gifts are often given on each night. Lots of games are played during the time of Hanukkah. Most popular game is called Dreidel or Yiddish or Sivian in Hebrew. And it described the game. I'm not going to go as far as describing the game. But the story of Hanukkah, here's the actual story of Hanukkah. About 200 BCE, BC, or 200 BC, Israel was a state in the Seleucid Empire, an empire ruled under Greek law. And under the overall charge of the king of Syria. However, they could follow their own religion and practices. About 200 BC, Israel was in state of the Seleucid Empire, which is an empire ruled under Greek law and under the overall charge of the king of Syria. However, they could follow their own religion and its practices. In 171 BC, there was a new king called Antiochus IV, who also called himself Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Antiochus the visible god. Arrogant much?
Wow. He said arrogant much?
Shoot, yo. Antiochus wanted all the empire to follow Greek ways of life and the Greek religion and all its gods. Some of the Jews wanted to be more Greek, but most wanted to stay Jewish. The brother of the Jewish high priest wanted to be more Greek, so he bribed Antiochus so he would become the new high priest instead of his brother. Wow. 3 years later, another man bribed Antiochus even more to let him become the high priest. Oh, he's been bribing folks to become high priest. You can just buy the position.
Right.
To pay his bribe, he stole some of the objects made of gold that were used in the Jewish temple. I just want to back up to when I said this is a lot simpler than other ones and didn't have any controversy. I was wrong. Definitely wrong. I thought, I read like the first paragraph. I was like, okay, I got this about the rededication of the temple. I did not realize it had this kind of history behind it, where people bribing each other, stealing positions, right. That kind of, I did not realize that. But anyway, it says, 3 years later, another man bribed Antiochus even more to let him become the high priest. To pay his bribe, he stole some of the objects made of gold that were used in the Jewish temple. Highly disrespectful. On his way home from having to retreat from a battle, Antiochus stopped in Jerusalem and he let out all his anger on the city and the Jewish people. He ordered houses to be burned down, and tens of thousands of Jews were killed or put into slavery.
What?
Yeah. Wow. This is all new to me. I read some of this, but I did not see this part here. Antiochus then went to attack the Jewish temple, the most important building in Israel to the Jews. The Syrian soldiers took all the treasures out of the temple, and on 15 Kislev, 168 BC, Antiochus put up the statues of the Greek god Zeus in the center of the Jewish temple, but it had the face of Antiochus. Then on the 25th of Kislev, he desecrated the most holy place in the temple and destroyed the Jewish holy scrolls.
Wow, he sounds like one of the mad kings or something.
Wow, I gotta take all this in. Dude, yeah, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's an understatement, though.
It really is. Horrible is, like, an understatement.
You bribe people, you stole out the kingdom, desecrate their holy temple, put your gods with your face in their place. Like, what the heck? Like,
that sounds like somebody evil who became obsessed with himself.
Yeah, definitely. It's idolatry, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Self-idolatry. Anyway, so they desecrated the most holy place in the Jewish temple and destroyed the Jewish holy scrolls. Dang, I'm hurt by that. Antiochus then banned practicing the Jewish faith and religion. If you were found out that you were practicing that, you and your family were killed. He made the temple into a shrine to Zeus. There were many Jews killed for their faith. Soon afterwards, a Jewish rebellion started. It began when a former Jewish priest called Mattathias was forced to make an offering to Zeus in his village. He refused to do so and killed a Syrian soldier. His sons joined him and killed the other soldiers in the village. Mattathias was an old man and died soon after this, but his son Judah then took charge of the freedom fighters. Judah's nickname was Maccabee, which come from the Hebrew word for hammer. His nickname was basically hammer. He and his troops lived in caves and fought an undercover war for 3 years. Then they met the Syrians in open battle and defeated them. When they got back to Jerusalem, the temple was in ruins and the statue of Zeus Antiochus was still standing. They cleaned the temple, they rebuilt the Jewish altar, and on the 25th of Kislev, 165 BC, exactly 3 years after the statue was put up, the altar and temple was rededicated to God. That's important. No wonder they celebrated.
Yes, that is.
There are several theories about why Hanukkah is celebrated over 8 nights. One legend says that when Judah and his followers went into the temple, there was only enough oil to burn for 1 night, but that it burned for 8 nights. Another story say that they found 8 iron spears and put candles of them and used them for lighting in the temple. Wow, so that's why Hanukkah is important. To the Jews, it's a big deal. It's the time they reclaimed. It's time they stood up and they reclaimed the temple. Yeah. Okay, so Hanukkah and Christmas. The dates of Hanukkah and Christmas might well be associated because 25 Kislev was when the temple was rededicated, and the early church chose December 25th because they took over the birthday of the Greek god Zeus, Roman god Jupiter, or Zeus, the Greek god Zeus / Roman god Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the history, yeah. Of Hanukkah. Like, I'm blown
you
away.
Still here kind of, you still try to take it all in.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of information. I mean, I got through it quickly because, like, it's a few paragraphs, but it was a lot of information.
It's different from my information. Like, everything we talked about was happy and
joyous
and stuff like that. Like, that was... I wasn't expecting to hear massacres and
I wasn't either.
Destruction.
I know
like
it was a
that.
Rededication from them reclaiming their temple, but I didn't realize it.
On that level, to that magnitude.
Yeah. So anyway, Pudge, you got anything on that, man? Because I don't have anything on that.
Nah, I'm just, I'm kind of just, stuck. I mean, literally, I'm taking everything in because I'm like, I wasn't expecting... I really was clueless about...
Me too. I knew it was a Jewish holiday and it shows up on the calendar around Christmas.
That's all I knew.
That's all I knew.
That's all I could knew. That's all I could tell you. I couldn't give you no more information than that.
Yeah, studying history and culture really does broaden your horizons. I want to say that, encourage our listeners out here. If you are a black person, white person, Puerto Rican, whatever you are, I would strongly encourage you to study other cultures and religions just for the basis of understanding and connecting, not necessarily converting or trying to say, like, if you study a Muslim faith that you're trying to convert from Christianity. I'm not saying, I'm just saying study for understanding.
Right.
Because we are all people. Like, right. At the end of the day, we're all people. And sometimes you just, you know, when you read about stuff like this, you study stuff, you just, I don't know, you just learn, you just, I don't know, you just understand more.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, I've been reading this book, I read this book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and they had a phrase, one of the seven habits was, seek to understand before seeking to be understood.
Mm.
And that always stuck with me out of the seven principles. That one was like, it's like, let me try to understand you before I try to get my point across. And I think, honestly, it'd be easier for us to get our points across if we took time to understand where the person was coming from in the first place.
Right.
Anyway, so that's all I got, man. That was, I would say short and sweet, but that's, we had 45 minutes already. But anyway, that one just kind of flew by for me. But anyway, I just want to thank everybody again for tuning in. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the prayers you sent up. This is, like, if you want to hit us up, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Ask any questions, any statements, anything you want to say to us. We're open to criticism, friendly and respectful criticism. I'm not open to debate, but I will discuss anything we talked about on our show, and I'm open to other discussions outside of the show. You know that we pray for each and every one of our listeners. We continue to pray for you. I thank God for each and every one of you.
Right.
Even the ones who may or may not believe in God, who may or may not be walking with God, who may or may not agree with me. I still thank God for you anyway, because you keep me on my toes with the questions that come. And you just, you know, and we do this for you.
Right.
And honestly, that's the most part. The other part is it's very therapeutic. I do appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate all of our listeners. And, before I get too far, man, let me just give some quick shout-outs, man. Our full list isn't in. We usually have a list of top 10, but for whatever reason, it hasn't updated on the website. But I will give a special shout-out to Stone Mountain, who's still showing up. San Antonio, Texas. Shout-out to my mom, who's always listening. My friend Brandy, friend of the show, friend of the family, who tunes in to every episode. Shout-out to you, Brandy. We love you. Thank you for everything you do.
We love you.
Thank you for passing it on. She is one of the ones who does pass information, so I appreciate that. Yeah, she does. Shout out to our girl Alicia and Kanye's holding it down for us. We got mad love for you. Thank you so much. I thank you for everybody who listens who don't make the list of top 10 listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in. But again, always remember crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. You can hear each and every episode at any given time. If you don't think you have the time, break it up into listening sections. That's what I typically do. I don't even listen to all mine at one time. I listen to them, I put my headphones on, and I clean up my house and I listen to it.
Right.
Or if I'm walking or taking a jog or I'm at the gym, I put them on and just listen to it. And I'll be laughing to that some of the stuff me and Punch be saying, but it's like, that's my time. So if you don't have enough time to listen to 40 minutes, then I suggest you reevaluate some balance in your areas, because we do need downtime. It's not just saying downtime is the podcast, but people act like they don't have time. But at the end of the day, you are in control of your time. And
your body needs it on top of that. Like, just bump everything else. Think about your health. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
If you don't have 45 minutes listening to podcasts, or you don't have 45 minutes to yourself, take 45 minutes for yourself. You deserve it. You are, at the end of the day, don't let life dictate you. You control the situation. You can't control what happens sometimes, but you can control how you react.
Right.
But you can't help people if you are in such a messed up mental state because you're exhausting yourself doing stuff that you can't function.
Right.
You know, it gets heavy. Sometimes they do take pressure, like people in hospital taking care of people. But at the same time, we have to make it a point to have that time for ourselves. So I'm saying, take time for you, then take time for crosstalk, podcast, listen to it in your car on your way to work. And when you're stuck in traffic, you might as well listen to us.
Right.
People are like, I don't have time to listen. I'm taking away your excuses.
Right.
Take away. So you get 24 hours a day. 16 of them, you're probably awake.
Right.
If you just took 20 minutes a day, you can listen to our podcast in 3 days.
Really?
Take a lunch break and listen to it. I'm saying, you got time. I got time to record and re-listen to them. And anyway, I'll get myself out. Look, y'all, listen to us. Tell your friends about us. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for those who support us. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio. Peace.